Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barrichini, and Alex Hobson.
Well, boys, welcome back. For the first time in a couple weeks, we are reunited for a Sticks in the Six episode, episode 120, brought to you by the fine folks at the Indie Ale House and the VSN Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Andrew Forbes, joined by my wonderful co-host, Peter Barrichini and Alex Hobson. As I mentioned, boys, a lot of talk about going into the playoffs here. We got some Maple Leafs talk. We got some Nyes talk. He was in the lineup last night. But before we get to that, we haven't seen each other in a couple weeks. So, Alex, how you doing, my friend?
Doing good. I was at the Jays home opener last night, and it was an unreal night. Obviously, you know how the game turned out. It was just great to be back there. And I know it's a cliche thing to say because obviously it's been reported on and talked about so much, but the renovations there are so sick. Like the outfield, it genuinely looks like you're walking through a little town. Like there's the amount of different places you can go, and just the social aspect is completely driven up compared to where it was last year. And I love that they've got those $20 general admission tickets now. I had seats yesterday, but I think that's something I'm definitely going to capitalize on in the future. So unreal time at the Jays home opener. I'm watching the game right now. Actually, Gausman's fucking dealing. He's got 7 strikeouts in 4 innings so far. Fired up, the baseball's back. I've just kind of been using this past week and a half to just kind of look away from the fact that the Leafs have a playoff series coming up. I've been trying to like push it off and pretend nothing's happening. You know, I don't have hockey to care about because they've already clinched home ice and all that. I'm just going to watch baseball and just pretend that everything's all right. And,
can't run from it, man.
Yep. I know I can't. I'm going to try to. That's not going to stop me from trying to run from it. I'm still going to do my best.
There you go. Yeah. You know what? I love the renovations because like I remember visiting Pittsburgh, PNC Park in Pittsburgh, and one of the things I liked about it was the walk behind the scoreboard. They had like that big walkway. You can kind of interact with people, and especially for like out of town fans, it's always great coming in and you know get that opportunity to kind of mingle a little bit with some of the hometown fans. I've heard a lot about the new setup behind the visiting bullpen, which is going to be exciting as the year gets kind of ramped up. But I'm excited to get out there. I definitely got to get to a game this year. But otherwise, Peter, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Yeah. I honestly like those new renovations are absolutely sublime. Like they're perfect and it creates that more social gathering kind of thing. Cause you go inside Rogers Center, it's just like, go in, take your seat and that's it. There is no interaction base area except for the WestJet flight deck. So good on them to revamp everything, add some more, club or like bar areas so everybody could join in. That's great. I low-key it's been a little like, you know, kind of easy couple of weeks, you know, taking it easy, obviously doing the writing on off days or whatever, but yeah, not a whole lot going on my end. So like it was like these last 2 weeks or week and a half has just been pretty boring, I'll say, from my end. I don't have any like good stories. Obviously, like I wanted to try and have as many Jays games as possible this season because of the new renovations and all that, but yeah, quiet on my end, not a whole lot. Sorry guys if I'm you know, all this time off, and I have got, and I've got absolutely zero, like anything, like zero things to talk about right now.
Hey, I can compete with your boredom. I've worked. That's it. I've worked. That's all I've done for like 2 weeks now. So if you're wondering why we haven't done a show, I mean, I've been working 90 plus hours a week right now, getting this new store ready here in London. But yeah, boys, it's been a heck of a 2 weeks, and I can't wait, like I said, to get out to a Jays game this year. Hopefully we can kind of meet up with not having doing the live shows in Toronto mm-hmm. right now, but get us all out to a game and have a few bevvies and how it goes down. But yeah, a quick shout out to Cody Bissell, who's tuning in, a friend of the show. Just shouting out, hey boys. So what's going on, Cody? Thanks for tuning in. And we're excited to get some Leaf talk going here. So with that, we might as well jump right in. Matthew Nyes, guys. What's that?
I thought you were going for the playoffs. Okay, never mind.
No. I'm thinking I want to save playoffs for a little bit later, but I want to talk about Matthew Nyes. Obviously losing in the championship game again this year to Quinnipiac. Fun story about Quinnipiac. I used to watch them play Mercyhurst. My cousin played for Mercyhurst. Obviously Mercyhurst is in the news these days for the wrong reasons. Briere's kid, but yeah, Matthew Nyes not winning the championship again, but signing now with the Leafs, getting into the lineup last night, and didn't really look too out of place. And Peter, I'll throw it to you first. Your thoughts on Matthew Nyes, what he brings to this lineup, if he's a guy that maybe we could see maybe push into that lineup for a playoff spot, or are we talking about, you know, he got his one game and you know, maybe he'll be a replacement come injury time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the first game was kind of a shock because, you know, Sam Lafferty was out and, you know, he was thrusted into that kind of role right away on the third line. And he didn't look out of place against the Florida Panthers. You know, he showed his great puck protection skills, the play along the boards, his ability to have that strength down low and even bring the puck out to the middle of the ice. And obviously, he didn't get a shot on net in this first game, but he generated quality chances for his teammates there. And that's the most important thing because he plays that power forward game. And for him to do that in his first outing was really great and very impressive. Obviously, even in his second game, too, some hiccups here and there. But his strengths and what he was able to do with the puck in the offensive zone really stood out. And even, like, in the defensive zone, like, he was getting into position very well, breaking up plays. Couple of nifty plays here and there. And obviously, in his second one against the Lightning, I honestly thought he scored that goal. I thought it went in and out very quickly. Like, we've seen that powerful release and quick accuracy that he has, especially in the middle of the slot area. But for the puck to, like, just, you know, trickle on the line and just roll on there, stay there. And then you see the hesitation for Martin O'Reilly because you wanted him to get his first goal. And when it didn't cross the line, that's when he went in there. You know, classy move on O'Reilly for him to try and make sure that he did get his first, but got his first point regardless. Very impressive the first two games, I must say. And, you know, obviously a lot of people are going to look to his production in college this season, how it didn't really jump out considering he was playing with Logan Cooley and Jimmy Snuggerud. But he was fantastic in that with the Gophers. He was fantastic in his first two games. And in terms of lineup projections, obviously you want to temper expectations a little bit. He's not going to be in that top six role like he was against the Lightning, but if there comes a moment where there is an injury or a player's having an off game, yeah, he's definitely a player that you could call upon because you've seen what he can do in key moments, in tough situations, really, back-to-back in Florida, going up against a tough team like the Lightning, and he still kind of excelled in that area. So, obviously, it's a long shot, but it isn't entirely impossible for him to try and crack the roster given what he was able to show in his first two outings.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, little bit more hesitant in his first appearance, 12 minutes, just over 12 minutes, no shots, 18 shifts, though, and getting the time that, you know, you need to give this kid if he's going to develop well into exactly what the Leafs want. Looked a little bit more comfortable in that game, the last game against Tampa. Your thoughts on Matthew Nyes? This is a guy that, you know, we're getting him a few games here. Are we going to maybe see him slide in one game in the playoffs?
Yeah, unfortunately, I missed a lot of those past two games, so I didn't really get to see too much of Matthew Nyes live. But from the highlights and from what I saw in the games that I, or at the times when I was able to watch the game, he looks like he fits in right away. And I know that his second game, from what I heard, was definitely better than his first game. And I think that, you know, he's got the size and he's got the body and the instincts to be able to stick in the NHL right now. And I think that he's somebody who could definitely be of service to the Leafs in the playoffs. But I think just the way that Zach Aston-Reese has played for this past month, I can't see Sheldon Keefe putting knives in favor of him. And on that note, I really don't think that there's anybody else in the lineup that Keith would take out for knives right now. That being said, I think that he's in a position where, you know, if the Leafs have a bad game in game two, game three, something like that, hell, even game one, I think that knives is somebody who could come into the lineup and maybe look to spark the offense a little bit. And, you know, you put a kid in that kind of situation, and especially somebody like Knies, who's been known to live up to the occasion before, it can give you a boost. So I don't think he's going to be in the lineup game one, but I think if he plays on Thursday the same way that he did on Tuesday, I think that we're going to be looking at a potential playoff appearance for him. I'm not sure about game one.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you guys. I think, you know, had Zach Aston-Reese really not kind of come alive in this last month, I think we'd be having maybe a different conversation. That said, I do think, you know, Sheldon Keefe is very, very committed to the players that he wants in his lineup. And we've seen that with Justin Hall the entire season. So to have that, I think, you know, it's nice to get Knies in there and get a few games out of him and really see what he can bring to the lineup. And I mean, if you're a Leaf fan right now, you have to be excited about what you've seen. Like I said, a little hesitant in the first game, but that second game, he looked more, you know, in the zone and kind of relaxed and just ready to play his game. And I think that's what you want from a guy like that. And he's had the opportunity to develop a little bit in college, and we're seeing some of those guys come out. I know Matt Coronato is supposed to play for Calgary as well. So it'll be interesting to see like what some of these kids are going to bring in the final few games here. But I'm excited to see what he brings down the road. I think right now he's not a guy that kind of slides into that playoff roster, especially because you went out at the deadline and you got the pieces you needed. And now you're hopefully going in as healthy as you can, given the rest that you've given some of your star players over the last couple of games. And, there's not really a spot for him right now, but I like what I've seen. I think most of Leafs Nation is going to like what they see from Matthew Knies moving forward. And really the fact is he signed now to the entry-level deal. And that's the biggest thing is now he's within the organization. Now you're going to get an opportunity to kind of see what he does at development camp next year. And, you know, we could be having a completely different conversation come the 2023-24 season. So,
two more quick points I just want to add quickly. Absolutely. Like the way that he was able to, like, obviously we talked about his size and how well he's able to handle the physicality. For a young player to jump in like that, and, you know, obviously there were a couple of shifts. I think one was against Mark Stahl in the corner, and he just actually absolutely just, like, not necessarily he showed the great positioning and awareness to shield the puck, get the puck out, and even that added speed element to his feet really helped him out in that regard. So that's really going to help him out in the corners. And another thing too, I mean, we talk about obviously rookie coming in. It's usually difficult for them to try and crack that roster spot, but considering his resume of what he already has, I think he has something going for him where he doesn't just want to play, like, have a backseat to this team. He wants to be a player that can make a difference. And we've seen that with back-to-back Frozen Fours, back-to-back Big Ten championships, the World Juniors, and even the Olympics too. Like, this is a guy that's played a lot of, like, highly competitive hockey in big moments, and I think he can not necessarily live up to expectations of big moments, but he can certainly provide an impact, whether it's on the score sheet or just doing the little things that'll help the team succeed, and I think that's going to help him out big time.
Well, I think it's too, like, it's worth noting too that, like, I mean, still going into this season, there were people out there kind of speculating like this was an undervalued pick by the Leafs, even with what he did last season. Then he went out and did what he did this year, and like I said, he came up and these last two games, he's kind of shown, you know, he's willing to buy in and kind of play the game that he needs to play to really develop and become the player that he can play or can be at the NHL level. So it'll be interesting. I know it's two games. We're sitting here dwelling on two games, but, you know, it's one of the more exciting prospects we've had since, you know, your top four. So I think it's, you know, it's something that we have to watch going forward. And like I said, development camp next year is going to be a lot of fun seeing what he can do, what he can put forward. Let's talk some Michael Bunting, because going into the playoffs, obviously we all know that one of the biggest things is special teams and how that can change the outcome of a game. We saw it a couple of years back where the Leafs just couldn't get it done on the power play. It changed the outcome of the series. Michael Bunting can be a very polarizing player in terms of how calls are made. And I'm not going to sit here and deny that he has drawn, like, I think he's number one in drawn penalties this year.
I think he's second.
So, I mean, that could, all things considered, like, he does benefit the team as well. But at the same time, I want to get your input on how he can affect the outcome of a game in a maybe not so good light as well, especially with the recent comments of like former referees and saying like, you know, he's maybe a guy that is kind of focused in on a little bit more when the Leafs are playing. And Alex, what are your thoughts on Michael Bunting? Is this something to worry about going into the playoffs, or are we going to see, you know, maybe a Michael Bunting that kind of tightens up his play a little bit and maybe more draws the penalties, but isn't kind of the focal point of the Zebras out there?
I honestly don't have an answer, because I want to say that Bunting will tighten things up and he won't be, you know, he won't be in the mic, or holy, he won't be under the microscope of the referees is what I was trying to say. That being said, I we've seen this story play out in the playoffs before with the officials and how, what they do and the way they officiate games in the playoffs. So really, I don't really have an answer for how they're going to treat Bunting. I think he's certainly going to make an effort to stay out of the box, because I think he wants the team to win. I don't think he's going to put, you know, his personal vendettas for other players and things like that over team success. But I can't say with confidence that the refs are going to treat him any differently than they have been all year. So who knows how that's going to play out.
Peter, your thoughts on Michael Bunting? Is this something we're going to have to worry about going into a series against Tampa Bay? Obviously, officiating is something we've talked about all season long. So, you know, your thoughts on how Michael Bunting might, you know, influence the outcome of this series?
I mean, if the refs actually do their job, I mean, maybe. But at the same time, like, there was a point, like, in January, February, where Michael Bunting, and even throughout the whole entire season, he was complaining a lot about missed calls and everything like that. That's a given. And you know what? He may have fallen out of favor with the refs because of the constant, you know, badgering of, you know, wanting to get a call against him, and he's yelling at them. And even there have been instances where he has dove and, like, has embellished a couple of times too. But I digress. But ever since that, you know, Detroit Red Wings game, it just seems like things have gotten worse and worse and worse. And even when Bunting is trying to, like, you know, keep things calm, and we all know how he plays on that edge, right? Getting in the opponent's face and agitating them. Even when he's doing that, the teams now know that if he's involved in something, and we even saw that against the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're going to go after him and make him a target and try and bait him, because that's, they know that the refs are watching him like a hawk and they're going to call something against him. Case in point, gets cross-checked, like massive cross-check from Corey Perry, middle of the ice. Nothing happens. He gets up and he goes after him, you know, stands up for himself. And then they both get thrown into the box for offsetting minors. That, to me, that wouldn't have happened if you just called that cross-check, because it was evidently a cross-check. And I don't know what the hell the refs were thinking. Then John Tavares gets jumped by three Lightning players. Bunting comes in to try and takes one, and then he gets thrown off for, like, interference. The refs know what they're doing. They have it out for Bunting. And if you can't realize that right now after watching that game, just the overall situation of the officiating, not just on Bunting itself, but, like, throughout the league, is just absolutely disgraceful. It's a joke. It's garbage. And I don't understand why they have these vendettas against players when they should just be calling the game itself. And if Bunting, I'm sorry, as difficult as it is for him to try and fight back, if he does something, refs are going to call him right away for retaliating. They're not going to call the initial penalty of let's say he gets tripped up and he goes after, I don't know, let's say Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov's not going to get that penalty, even though he kind of did get one against Brody. in the last game. But if he's going after somebody, the refs are going to book him right away. And it's a sad state, but this is where it is right now. And Bunting's just going to have to try and keep things in check as best as possible, because we know how well and how well he thrives in that kind of role. It's just right now, it's not necessarily affecting his play. It's affecting the calls against him, because if he's about to draw a call, the refs are going to find something and say, hey, you know what? You're going off too. So it's going to be, instead of a 5-on-4, it's 4-on-4.
It's funny you should say that. As I mentioned, Cody's tuning in. This is Cody's comment. You could see Bunting holding back last game, and it didn't help. The play when JT was getting mugged by three guys and he came in and grabbed one guy, he got the only two on the play. It's egregious. He follows it up by saying, if he can change, then the refs have to as well. Cody, I agree. This is something we've been talking about all year. The officiating in every sports league right now needs a revamp. You're talking about the top four leagues in the world, in terms of like your big four sports, and officiating for whatever reason has kind of taken that front row seat of like, this is about us. And it's unfortunate, because we have seen games changed because of it. Not just Leaf games. It's something that we have conversations with. I think we had a talk about the Vancouver game, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and that was an issue. And, It's one of those things that unfortunately you can't change unless the league looks at it from a different perspective. And as we saw with Kyle Dubas's comments at the GM meetings a couple years ago, officiating, everything is okay. We're perfect. Something along the lines of that. So
Peter, it was more than a smirk. It was a full on. Ha! Officiating.
Yeah.
Everything's
good with officiating.
I'm curious to see what, because apparently he said that's on Kyle to talk to the league about the first instance that happened with Bunting in Detroit. I'm curious to see what Kyle had to say about the league, because it probably did not sit well with Gary Bettman if he was in that call.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's frustrating from a fan standpoint. It's got to be frustrating from a player standpoint, but you have to. Unfortunately, I can't believe I'm saying this, but unfortunately, you have to adapt in a way that it's not going to affect the outcome of the game.
He just needs to kind of suck it up at this point, because it's not going to change anything. Unfortunately,
and he is under the microscope, and that's the unfortunate part, is that he is under the microscope, and there's nothing that he can really do about it. I mean, he can change his game all he wants. Obviously, we saw with the comment that Cody and yourself made, mm-hmm. Peter, that he's going to be the one that you come in as the third man in, you're going to get the two, and it's a retaliatory call. And it is unfortunate, but you're going to be going up against a tough Tampa team. The Tampa's bottom six, they're going to run you. They're going to hit hard. They're going to play hard. And this is where he's got to let his emotions kind of, he's got to get the better of his emotions rather than his emotions getting the better of him. And I think that's what he's got to look at from his standpoint. Yeah. I think if you're Sheldon Keefe, the second you see him kind of getting out of control, you pull him, you reel him in, mm-hmm. reel him in, sit him an extra shift and just say, look, buddy, we get it. But this is about the team now. This is about protecting us. This is about getting out of the first round. Yeah. And that's what the focus has to be. So, it'll be interesting. It's something that we definitely have seen, not just this year, but over the past year, but it's a conversation that needs to be had. And Tim Barron, he's tuning in right now as well. He comments and says, you can't deny any player his style of play. I 100% agree. And the unfortunate part is, in certain situations right now, they are denying the players their style of play. And it's gotten more away from that, I don't know, kind of roughhousing style of play that Michael Bunting plays. And he's a rat. He's a Brad Marchand. He's a guy that goes out there and stirs the pot. And those
Which
are the guys
official,
that they've...
I was just about to say, sorry to interrupt you, but what official said that, Michael Bunting is going to have to change his style of play or whatever to get in favor with the refs again? Meanwhile, Brad Marchand has been doing this exact same thing for years and years on end. He has not changed his play style, and yet he still gets calls in favor of him at certain points. So if Brad Marchand can't change his player style.
Two words on that one. Jeremy Jacobs.
I was going to say two words on that one. Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Jacobs. That's the answer to that one, and that's why, you know, even with all the bullshit that you've seen from Marshawn over the years, I mean, he's seen fine after fine after fine and very little suspensions.
No more suspensions. So.
Boys, I hate to do this right now, but it's a big night for French and Fried. I've got a ball hockey game I got to take off.
Hey.
We had a tough start to the season. We started off 0-2, got slapped pretty hard, but we've won two in a row, and our goal differential's back to even. So we're looking to make it three wins in a row tonight, and unfortunately, I got to take off for that. So I appreciate you guys carrying the load for the rest of the show while I go save the world, basically.
No worries, buddy. We're We're looking forward to all the stories for ball hockey, and glad you could join us for the first part of this episode. Yep.
Hopefully I'll have victory beers when I get back and not depression.
Not depression beers. Cuts himself off. Anyways, that's a perfect time for a quick word from our sponsors over at the NDL House.
Segue.
Playoffs are soon back, and with it, so are the Maple Leafs. Getting ready for a night out or watching the game at home with the gang, what better way to do it than with a nice cold one from the fine folks at the Indie Ale House in Toronto? With two locations in the city at Eataly Toronto at Bay and Bloor, the Biroteca location, they have two big screens, amazing authentic Italian food, and loads of beer. Also at OG Brew Pub in the Junction at Keel and Dundas with 120 seats, famous bar food, and 12 taps. Indie Ale House is an award-winning brewery featuring their flagship Instigator IPA and dozens of rotating monthly special release beers, perfect for takeout, dine-in, or bottle shop online orders when planning for game night. You can find their wonderful Instigator IPA, which I will crack open right after this ad read, and Marco Polo Pilsner at finer LCBOs across the province as well. Hashtag LiveIndie is the motto. Adventurous, fun-focused beers with a selection for everyone, from the healthy dose of in-your-face hoppy beers for the beer geeks to mainstream pilsners and easy drinking options, Indie Ale House is the go-to for game day. Visit www.indiealehouse.com to place your order today. And as I mentioned, Peter, I'm going to quickly crack this one open and get a little sip in there.
Let's do it. I love Cody's comment. He won't have any victory without pre-game beers.
That's right. That's right. Cody, pre-game Cody beers. Knows where it's at.
Who needs Cody? Who needs Gatorade or BioSeal when you got, you know, pregame beers?
See, and Cody, this is the mid-segment beer that I'm sitting here enjoying. So definitely, Cody, if you get a chance, check out the Indie Ale House down in Toronto. Make a little order for playoff time.
Definitely. Definitely. It's worth it.
But, yeah, I'm glad we got a lot of comments coming in here from Tim and Cody. Got to go back and forth on the style of play of Darcy Tucker. I'm glad, Tim, for bringing up Darcy Tucker. I was actually, as you can see, getting my beard lined up today and getting a little haircut from my wonderful barber, Shane. And him and I go back and forth on the Leafs all the time. And he brought up, while we were sitting there, he brought up a fight that Matthew Barnaby and Darcy Tucker back in the day. And if you get a chance, go back and check out this clip on YouTube or hockeyfights.com. And man, it you're 100% right when you say the style of play has changed. That was an animalistic fight, and the two of them went toe to toe. I watched the whole thing with Shane, and I don't think I could tell you who actually won the fight, but it was one of those ones where you sit back and you're like, man, that is an old school tilt. Darcy Tucker was an absolute animal, and you know, I would love to see more of that in the NHL again. I don't think we will for a long time. But I do think we will circle back to that at some point. Just the style of play. You need to protect your stars. You need to protect your players. And that's why the Leafs went out and got a guy like Luke Shen, which we will talk about in a little bit, or at least I will talk about in a little bit. But before we get into that, one last thing before we get into playoff talk here, Peter, I want to talk to you about Chris Weidman's comments on the Leafs playing Jet Alexander for the last minute and 40 seconds or whatever it was for the 7-1 blowout they had on those lowly Montreal Canadiens. You know, there was some Canadiens players that came out and said, you know, good for him getting into a game. He's a college kid. Like what a great opportunity for him to don the blue and white and get that opportunity. Good on Sheldon Keefe for doing what he did and getting him into that game. And then you had Chris Weidman, who comes out and says, you know, they're going to get what they get in whatever time. Your thoughts on this comment and you know, what is it just that disappointing of a year for Chris Weidman that he has to make something out of nothing?
Well, I even joked a little bit. I thought he would be a little bit more disappointed that his fancy stats were pretty awful during that game, as opposed to Jet Alexander coming in for a minute, 10 seconds. But honestly, I don't understand what the whole issue is. I mean, like, this is a kid that, you know, he plays university hockey. You don't know if a player like that is going to get another opportunity like this again. And it's absolutely just savor the moment. Like, it was already a 7-1 game. And I'm just going to get into this, or it's going to kind of tie in with what I'm going to talk about as well. It was 7-1. It was completely out of reach. Samsonov was already dealing with some sort of injuries that you did not want him. I honestly thought he should have been pulled after he started to like feel something within his leg or his groin or something, and put the e-bug in just to be on the air on the side of caution, no matter what, because Sammy's going to be your guy in the playoffs. But for him to come in last minute, 10 seconds, for him to soak that all in, knows what it feels like to be in that moment. It's just a feel-good story. I don't know what it is with people and hating on feel-good stories, but it's just absolutely, like, I just don't get it. I really don't. And back, I can't remember when it was in January, yeah,
fuck
February.
Fuck David Ayers, okay? Fuck David Ayers.
In January, February, where the Oilers were dealing with a similar situation, Matt Berlin, I believe it was, came in. In the dying minutes of that game, it was, again, a blowout against the Chicago Blackhawks. Everyone is saying, oh, that's a great story. It's a feel-good moment. Good on Matt Berlin. And rightfully so, right? Again, another university kid getting that moment, getting that opportunity. Why not feel good about it? But apparently what is happening with the Maple Leafs right now, you can't do it. You can't. It's disgraceful to the game. It's showing. It's basically rubbing it in your opponent's face and all that. I'm like, just give me a break already. Like, just be happy for the kid. And even so, I honestly, because they had another e-bug against the Florida Panthers, to piss off Chris Weidman even more, why not just put that e-bug in again? In relief for Samsonov, or even in the game against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Why not? Let them have a moment, for crying out loud. Like, I just don't get it.
Cody's all over the comments. I love this. Cody, stay, watch every episode here. But they could have done it earlier. That would have been a slap in the face. They did it in the minute with a minute left, just for the moment. It's not like they started the kid. You know what? I'm all with Cody here. I would have stuck him in for the last period. I would have given him the entire 20 minutes and said, do with it what you want for the last 20 minutes. And just shoved it down their throats. Like, Montreal would do the same thing if they were in that position. And it's not about the integrity of the game. It's like, hey, you know what? We got a feel good story. The game's over. Montreal can't change any outcome here.
They're going to score six goals in a minute, 10 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. I don't have an issue with it. I think, you know, the guys in the room, they don't mind it. I don't know. And Tim's coming in here too and says, you know, it is a pro league. I'm all for that. Yeah. I think I get it. I love the fact that it's a pro league. Look, this is a kid who was an MVP over at UBC. He was an MVP for the league. I believe it was Jet Alexander. He was the MVP for the UBC his college team. Anyways, regardless. The fact that he got to dress for the Maple Leafs would have been good enough to get in a game like that and make a few stops. I think that's just a bonus. And I do think that, Cody brings up another great point. It's everything is 10 times more magnified for the Leafs. They're the hockey mecca of the world. I don't know. This is a hot debate. Look at the comment section here. It's a great debate, and I love it. I love debates. I love that, you know, you guys are kind of going back and forth. And I think both you guys bring up great points. I just, at the end of the day, man, if I got the opportunity to jump into a game and suit up for the Maple Leafs, Hell yeah. Look at David Ayers has made a living off of coming in and being the guy that wins it as the Zamboni driver. So. I mean, could it change somebody's life? Maybe. I don't know. I don't mind it, but again, it's a good conversation to have. But regardless, I want to jump into playoff talk. I think that's what our listeners want to listen to is a little bit of playoff talk, getting ready for this series against Tampa Bay, getting ready for the age-old question. Are the Leafs going to make it out of the first round? And unfortunately, Alex isn't here to help us answer that. But I think, it's definitely something we have to talk about. The Leafs are going up against Tampa Bay. We've seen what Tampa's done over the last 2 years. I remember last year when making our playoff predictions, I said Leafs in six because Tampa's going to be tired. The next round, I said, Tampa's going to be out. The next round, I said Tampa's going to be out. Playing too much meaningful hockey over the last few years, and they shoved it right up my hoop and told me we're going to the Stanley Cup final again. They put on a hell of a show in the Stanley Cup final as well. So is this the year, Peter, is this the year that the Leafs make it out of the first round?
I love how Cody says it's going to be a battle, Leafs in five. Tim, yes, they do, but not getting any further. It's already happening. It's already happening. But I mean, in my head, yes. But in reality, I'm a little bit scared because you do have that history, the 6-7 years where they have this kind of mentality where you think things are going well, and then the ultimate, 18-wheeler off a cliff kind of happens, Sorry to bring that up for all the painful memories in the Brian Burke or Brian Burke era. But at the same time, the mentality with this team, even throughout the whole entire season, you saw it progressively get better, especially after that rough month in October. The mentality and the consistency kind of got better, kind of pulled back away at times. But whenever they were starting to get out of sync, they were able to come back. They were able to get focused. They were able to get into it. And with the additions that they made at this deadline to be competitive by bringing in the experience of O'Reilly and Achari, by bringing in the physicality and two-way play of Jake McCabe and Sam Lafferty, you're going to talk about Luke Shen, but the way that the human eraser has been since coming over to the Maple Leafs, and that fight against Pat Maroon just said it all. This team is in it to win it. They're going to go all in, and they're going to lay everything on the line. This is a team that's kind of built for that moment. They're built to try and take down the Giants in the Lightning, the Giants in the Bruins, because of the season that they had. This is the make or break season. I don't want to say the last dance because they don't have a championship.
I love it.
I'm going to get heat because you're comparing the Chicago Bulls to the Maple Leafs. At least the Bulls had the chips or whatever, but at least right now, this is the most complete and competitive team I have seen in this Austin Matthews or core four era. And the fact that they have the pieces right now to succeed, I go back to Luke Shen in the fight. I go back to him scoring his goal. I go back to Jake McCabe laying it on the line in the dying minutes of that period with the blocked shots. I mean, he hasn't played a playoff game and he's already in playoff form. And there's even a point where there's a shot of him on the bench and he's like, there's two sides to him. He's, yelling, not necessarily yelling, but he's, trying to motivate the team on the bench. And then all of a sudden you see him bob his head to some music or whatever. And I'm like, he's playing like you should, but he's still having a little bit of fun with it. Obviously you can't have too much fun, but this is a guy that's ready. He's mentally prepared for what's to come. And if this whole entire team could buy into that mentality, plus with the experience of Achari and O'Reilly, I think if they win a series, it may end against the Boston Bruins, but I think the Maple Leafs do have that best chance to try and beat the Bruins, considering who they've beaten all year long. And I think the Maple Leafs have made it close against Boston most of the time compared to other teams. So we'll see what happens, but it definitely is a better team than it was last year going up against the Lightning, that's for sure.
I think you and Tim are on the same page. Tim says they don't get past Boston. Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. I think I agree with Tim in the comments here that, Tampa's not playing well. This is the best opportunity that the Leafs have to get past that first round, to beat Tampa. I think Tampa hasn't really had a chance to rest some of their players the way they have in previous years. Just you know, trying to get that home ice advantage. Not that they absolutely needed it, but Vasilevsky's played a lot of games again this year. He's got a lot of miles on him. How long can he stay? Look, we're talking about one of the best goalies in the league right now, one of the best goalies in the world right now. But how long can he stay at that level playing 60 games a year? And they did it again this year. And credit to Cooper, because he's arguably one of the best coaches in the league right now. What he's been able to do with that team, what he's been able to, the mind games, and we talked about it last year when they went up against him, the mind games that he plays with this team, and even in the closing regular season game where they lost to Joseph Woll, and the comments are, you know, I didn't see enough energy out there from our guys, and that's the only reason we lost. And it's like, okay,
it's not going to work this time, I don't think.
Take all the credit from the Leafs for going out and Woll making 45 saves and say, yeah, it's our team. Our team just didn't play well. But it's – he has that way of getting in the mind of the opposition. He has that way of kind of playing that, you know, kind of questionable mind circus game that he plays. But Tampa's tired, and you know, I said it last year, I'm going to say it again this year. Tampa's played too much high intensity hockey over the last three seasons, and to be where they are. I mean, you're talking about in today's day and age, you're talking about a dynasty. That's what a dynasty is now. Back to back, and you're back in the Stanley Cup final. They're a dynasty. But eventually dynasties die as well. And
especially like tougher this time around because you have a salary cap. You don't have the luxury like the Oilers and the Islanders.
Well, you didn't bury Kucherov on the LTIR for the remainder of the season, the cap, and then go 18 million over the cap, right? So they've had to play within the rules of the league for once. And, you know, it could come back to bite them because they didn't make enough changes. Tanner Janot got hurt. So that's another question mark going into the playoff series as well.
Maroon looked injured as well. Maroon looked injured as well because he had that awkward fall with Nylander. But then after the fight with Shen, don't think I saw him in that game, and maybe he left. Could be wrong about that, but he did kind of look a little bit worse for wear.
Tim, again, I think the Leafs are better with their ads, but Tampa loses more because they are not playing well. I agree. I think Tampa's just not ready going into the playoffs right now. They're going in not playing well whatsoever. Vasi's looking a little different, letting in some weaker goals, not standing on his head, not stealing games the way that he has. Again, playoffs is a different beast. We might see a different Tampa Bay. Who knows what this team can do when they kind of buckle down and grind it out. But you have to give credit where credit's due. And Dubas knew this is his last go. He went out there and did everything he could to get the pieces he needed to fill in the holes that he needed. You got Ryan O'Reilly. You got Nolan Chari. You got Sam Lafferty. You have Jake McCabe on the back end. You have Luke Shen on the back end. This is the moment that the Leafs have now where they need to take that next step. And your core four needs to take that next step. For the last 2 years, I've compared this team to the Washington Capitals. And I've said, you know, it took Ovi how long to get over the hump? Well, it took Barry Trotz coming in for them to get over the hump. That's what happened. Is Barry Trotz came in, changed the dynamic of that team, made it a more defensive, responsible team. And look what happened, right? You know, Trotz leaves and all of a sudden we're not talking about a Washington Capitals Stanley Cup team anymore. So Sheldon Keefe can get it done in the regular season. I talked about that in a recent piece I wrote. He's a regular season guru. I don't think he's gone at the end of this year, even with Dubas likely gone. I think he's a guy that can stick around and really develop this team, but you need the support of your players as well. And I think that core four needs to find a way to take that next step. I think if you lose in the first round and you're coming out and again and saying, you know, we're going to take this as a learning opportunity, that doesn't cut it anymore. That was last year. That was old news. This year it's got to be completely different. And as we get into like kind of the role players and players to watch and keys to this matchup, Cody with a great question. For the boys, do you think Luki Shen should start the series and play until he's given given a reason to take him out? 150%. And here's Luke Shen's playoff stats. Didn't hit the playoffs until 2013-14 with Philly. 31 games, 3 goals, 6 points, 22 penalty minutes, 31 shots, and has a game-winning goal. So almost a 10% shooting percentage come playoff time. This guy is physical. This guy plays hard. This guy is willing to fight basically anybody, as we saw with Pat Maroon the other night. I think Luke Shen's in. I don't think you go 11-7. I think you go 12-6. I think Luke Shen finds his way into the lineup, and I think Timothy Liljegren's your number 7. Simple.
100%. And yeah, if you need any reason to suggest that Luke Shen should be in the starting lineup and he shouldn't be taken out, that one game against the Lightning proved it all. He's ready. He's your number 6 defenseman. Whether he's going to be with Morgan Rielly in a top 4 role or even in a third pairing role, doesn't matter. He's going to do his job. And he has succeeded or thrived in every single aspect that he has been put in since coming over here. He's your guy. Simple as that.
Another great question from Tim this time around. Does Dubas keep his job if the Leafs win at least one series? I'll take this one right away here, and it's honestly tough to say, because I think the slap in the face is that he was not offered a contract extension at all. So going into the season, no contract extension. It was basically do what you can this year, and you know we'll kind of play it by ear. I think the league right now, anybody that sees Dubas on the open market is going to eat him up. What he's done with this team, remember, like some of these guys that came in were Mark Hunter's draft picks, right? Like. So he was restarting after Mark Hunter left. So Dubas's team is just kind of coming into their own right now.
Yeah.
You got the Matthews, you got the Marner, you know, even Nylander was pre-Dubas. You know, he went out and made the move for Tavares. Morgan Rielly was pre-Dubas. So he's kind of stuck with some of that stuff. For me, I think if you're Kyle Dubas, I think you're in charge now. You're reassessing where you're at past whatever series you get to. So let's say it's the first round, you get knocked out again, Dubas walks, guaranteed. If you get into the second round and you see kind of what you'd like, you know that you can re-sign guys like Ryan O'Reilly, maybe you can sign Nola Chari, maybe you can, you know, you can kind of manipulate the cap in your favor. I think, you know, you really think hard about coming back. And that falls in line with what is it going to take to re-sign Austin Matthews? So if Matthew comes out and says, look, I'm not staying if Dubas is here, then I think there's your answer right there. But at the same time, I think if you know, Matthews comes out and says, look, I have a great relationship with Dubas and what he's done for this team and tried to put us in a good position to win, I think the conversation is had. But Tim, that's a great question. I think right now it's completely up in the air. And I think Dubas holds the cards. I really do.
Yeah, and also if he does walk or you don't extend him, who else is out there that, you know, kind of has made – obviously he has made some questionable moves himself, but the moves that he's made this season shows that he's not afraid to make some bold moves. If you let him walk, who else are you going to bring in? There's really no one on the market that has that mindset and ability to try and make these kind of moves. Yeah, he was hesitant at first, but now – seeing what he's able to do, I think you got to keep him on no matter what.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. There,
there you go, Cody.
Andrew Forbes for Leafs GM 2024 if he walks. Hey, I would happily take that job. And I wouldn't look back. Even if you fired me a month into the season because I didn't do something right, I would happily take that job. Cody, thank you for your blessing. I appreciate it. And, you know, hopefully MLSC is listening in here. you know, let's get it done. Let's get it done. You guys can all come over to the office for a beer pregame. But let's get into, like Jet Alexander, throw me in for a minute. That's all I need. Let's get to the key players in this matchup, because at the end of the day, you know, you can talk about the Stamkoses, you can talk about the Kucherovs, you can talk about the Braden Points, you can talk about the Matthews, Marners, Nylanders. The keys to this matchup are going to be the role players. We saw that against Tampa last time around. Nick Paul was a big piece in game 7. You had Brandon Hagel, who had his role that he was playing. the Corey Perrys, the Pat Maroons. Those are the pieces that are going to come around and play roles. Before we get into mine, Peter, who do you have as kind of your players to watch in this series? How are they going to be difference makers? And what are you looking for in a Leafs Lightning matchup?
Well, like you said, the players are going to be key. And I think Noel Chari is going to be that player. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people remember Chari from the Boston Bruins days, where he was kind of that Maple Leaf killer, where he would score a timely goal and then just be an absolute thorn in our sides. I think this time around, now that he's on our team, or the Maple Leafs, not basically our team, but now that he's on the Maple Leafs, he's doing everything that you wanted at that player, getting in the lanes, getting quick on the forecheck, being physical, just doing everything to win. That's his mindset. That was what it was like with the Bruins. It was like it was the same thing with the St. Louis Blues when he was there. And it's with that mentality right now with the Maple Leafs. I think he's good. I was on the preview show on the Hockey Writers saying, like, I'm making a bold prediction. And I think Noel Chari is going to score a key goal in a very important game or a game-winning goal because of his mentality to drive hard to the net, get in on the attack, and just be relentless with his mindset and his work ethic. I think that he's going to be someone that should be kept an eye on and can have a big series.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Coming out of the Tampa Bay side, what are your thoughts on Tampa Bay key role players that could change the outcome of this series?
I mean, this is kind of an easy one, and I'm going to pick this. It's Andre Vasilevsky. If he's on top of his game, it's lights out. And that's why, like, when it was in game six, the Maple Leafs had Tampa Bay on the ropes. Obviously, you know, things happen in game six, but when you got the game seven, that's when Vasilevsky shined. And in elimination games or do or die games, that's when he's at his best. And kind of don't want that to happen again, because he's going to put his best foot forward. And like you said, peak Vasilevsky or Vasilevsky on top of his game, it's lights out. There's no doubt about that. So I think if they have any chance to win, it's going to fall on Vasilevsky again, because you have a little bit more inexperience with your lineup because you've lost some players in the offseason. You don't have Andre Palat anymore. You've lost Ryan McDonagh. You've lost some key players that were essential to last year's playoff run. Kind of don't have that right now. Although you still deep team, you just don't have some of those key factors anymore. And you're relying on some of your younger players that are coming up right now as well. So, yeah. Vasilevsky on top of his game, that's just going to be an important key player for me.
This is what I want to look like at the end of the Leafs playoff run. I want that. I want a nice playoff beard. I want to look angry and grizzled. I want to go through two or three rounds and just, like, that's going to be my focus, is just getting this thing nice and bushy and disgusting, and maybe give it a little scrub every once in a while with some beard shampoo and whatever. But I think right now, obviously, we're not going to do our predictions. We're going to have a little playoff prediction show with the three of us jumping on. We'll break down every series. So if you're listening now, tune into that as well. But I think Luke Shen is the big guy right here. And that's why I'm glad that Cody asked the question that he did. Because for me, like, this guy can be a game breaker. This guy can be, somebody that can really change the outcome of the game, and he's going to be physical. And that's something that the Leafs haven't had on the back end in a few years. And I include Jake Muzzin in that as well, because to me, Jake Muzzin he wasn't healthy for the last few years. Like, he wasn't 100%. So to get a guy like Luke Shen in there to kind of play and be that physical aspect, that's what the Leafs have needed for some time. I think that's what's going to be kind of that's going to be what leads this team past that first round and into a tough Boston series. And again, Boston can go either way, depending on how, you know, their first round series goes as well. Allmark's had a standout year. Allmark's never had a standout year. So at any point that he could come back down to earth. We saw with Jack Campbell, had an incredible first little bit of run with the Leafs and came back down to earth. But yeah, I think that's going to be a big one for the Leafs. I think Sheldon Keefe's a big role player in the Leafs, Leafs coming out of this series as well. And I say that because forget the line shuffling, forget the forget all the BS with who you want in the lineup. You put your best players in and you sit your worst players down. And if you have to bench somebody because they're not getting the job done, they're missing assignments, you do it. It's playoff time. You need to get through that first round. And there's nothing else is going to be accepted from Leafs Nation this year. First round, you have to get through it regardless. That second round, you can start, you know, playing a little bit more of your coaching aspect and trying to, you know, do what you do as a coach. But your goal right now is to get through that first round. So I think Sheldon Keefe's going to be a big role player. For me on the other side, I think you got back to the Brandon Hagels and the Nick Pauls. I think those are your guys that are going to change the outcome for them. And you know, you have to kind of find a way to contain that depth, because that's something that the Lightning have had for a number of years. They continue to rebuild that third and fourth line, and it works for them year in and year out. And it's because they build it with veterans who buy into the system. And John Cooper, credit to him, where, you know, for what he's done over the last number of years with this Tampa team. This is exactly how a winning team is built. And I think the Leafs need to look at Tampa and say, this is what we want to do over the next few seasons and find a way to get it done. But yeah, we'll get into the prediction side of everything in our next episode. Obviously, we'll break down each series. Before we close out, a couple quick things from our two very loyal listeners. Cody, he thinks they get it done in five. He thinks the Leafs in five. He said, you know, no messing around after the whistles. And Tim, as he said, Tim says they need to start fast and hot. So I agree, fast and hot. You know, you got to get those first couple games under your belt. You got home ice advantage. That's the best way to do it. We'll see what happens, and we look forward to getting the playoffs underway in the next little while here. But before we do, we'll be sure to have our playoff show, our prediction show, for the fine folks that tune into us weekly. Until then, Peter, anything you wanted to throw out there and add a little hockey writers news, anything you got going on?
Got two pieces coming out, one on Joseph Woll, but playoff one, where I'm going to look at three burning questions for this Leafs Lightning series. And one of them is going to be, I found it to be very interesting as of late. So be on the lookout for that.
Beautiful. I've got a piece coming out on how Liljegren should be the number 7D going into the playoffs. I think it goes without saying. Big shout out to Tim and Cody for tuning in tonight. Yes. Thank you guys very much for all the comments and all the interactions that you guys had with each other. Tim's got the Leafs in six. Playoff hockey. Let's go get your pools going. We look forward to what is going to come for the Leafs here in the first round. Until next time, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Andrew G. Forbes. You can follow Peter at P. Barrichini. You can follow Alex at Hey Hobson Media. You can also follow the show at Sticks in the Six Pod. That's STIXINTHE6IXPOD. As always, you can definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got some opinionated shit that comes out on there, and I have no issues kind of rebuttaling what comments come on our YouTube channel. So definitely check us out. I should also note that tune in tomorrow to the Sports Podcast Group, as we are as one of 11 candidates up for the best hockey podcast of the year, going against some tough competition. They announce the winners tomorrow. They announce the top three tomorrow. So very exciting for us, even if we don't get in that top three. Thank you all for always tuning in.
Yes.
Thank you all for all your support over the last 3 years. And we're excited to continue to grow this show. Otherwise, big shout out to VSN Podcast Network for having us on live as always, and to the Indie Ale House for continuing to support us through this year. Until next time, that's all we got for you here at Sticks in the Six.